that whether or not we have faith and understanding the Bible is incredibly important in understanding Australian history and identity. To discuss the importance of Bible literacy and how it fits in Australian society, I'm joined now by Dr. Meredith Lake, historian and author of the recently published book, The Bible in Australia, A Cultural History, with, I must say, a very good cover photo on it, Meredith.
Yeah, it looks great. I'm really pleased.
There's a like Jesus on the crucifix of like a telegraph pole or something, you know, above the street.
Yeah.
It's pretty visually striking. I mean, one of the founding myths for Australia has been, you know, as a secular society, but how does the Bible fit into it, having never really embraced Christianity in the same way as, say, like the UK or even the US? Where does it sit in our culture?
It's as a contested text, actually, is kind of core to the Bible story in Australia. It arrived with the British colonists, some of whom thought it was God's word, his message of salvation for everyone. Convicts who came with biblical tattoos and who used the Bible often quite subversively. Officers on the First Fleet who were kind of men of the Enlightenment and very skeptical. They all referred to the Bible a lot of the time, whether it was as a source of story or of God's own voice or something. But the argument about the Bible, what authority it has, what it might mean, whether, you know, it's worth paying attention to at all, has been there right from the outset in Australia. And it's that kind of gloves off, argy bargy over this text that's been really dynamic in Australian culture.
So do you think then, you said, you know, the Enlightenment was in full swing by the time the Bible, you know, made its way over here with the colonists. Do you think then that Australia has been a lot more kind of, you know, critical in its approach to the Bible, or a lot more, you know, less more questioning about it?
I think that's always been a strand from the outset. But I think there's kind of two myths. One is that Australia was straightforwardly Christian at the outset of its colonial history. And one is that it was entirely godless at the outset. And actually, neither of those fit quite neatly. The historical record, human experience, is much messier than that. And what people have thought about ultimate things as well as about sacred texts. So for me, by putting the Bible and what people have thought about it at the center of the story, you actually can listen to the argument. You can listen to that argy-bargy and tell the story of the skeptic alongside the story of the devout. Because often that's where the interest for me as a historian has been.
I have to admit the phrase entirely godless does sound a little bit, you know, lonely. so do you think it is possible then? I mean, obviously, when people talk about the Bible, it's very easy to go down. They're trying to force religion upon you. They're trying to, you know, teach you this and make you adopt that. But is it possible to look at the Bible solely as like from a secular standpoint and view it as a sort of secular text in that way?
I mean, I think there's plenty of examples of people who've done exactly that. Like in Australian culture, think about the songwriter Paul Kelly or someone like that who grew up at a Christian Brothers high school, walked away from Mass in his teens, but has written heaps of songs that draw very directly on the scriptures. I mean, it's a source of kind of musical inspiration for artists, painters, writers, many of whom don't have don't call themselves Christians or anything, but have still found it something that enlarges their imagination creatively. I mean, he's just one example. I mean, the Axis of Awesome have done it in their song, you know, What Would Jesus Do, which is a crack up.
Yeah.
Right through to, you know, painters like the classics like Arthur Boyd and Margaret Preston. They've all got biblical works. Brett Whiteley painted a crucifixion. None of these people are straightforwardly Christian in the way they describe their own spirituality, but I mean, it's as a piece of literature, as a source of inspiration creatively, it's definitely been really dynamic.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that our society and culture is, you know, very saturated with references to the Bible. But is it really necessary for us to personally sort of explore it ourselves, or is it enough to kind of get it secondhand from, you know, references other people use around us? Is it really important for us to like personally go and explore it?
Well, I think each person needs to work out for themselves how much they want to drill down into those kind of fun, you know, deep narratives that have shaped the imagination of the culture around them. Some people will do that by reading personally. Other people will just, you know, listen to a podcast or something. Other people will just sail through without ever wanting to engage. And I guess people are perfectly entitled to do that. But I think sometimes especially when creative people engage with the Bible, they do it in a way that's subversive. It's hard to grab what's subversive about their work if you're unfamiliar with kind of what a more traditional Christian reading might have been. So Reg Mombassa, for example, the mambo artist, he's got this great character called Australian Jesus that crops up in lots of his works. And he's got a series where he, you know, Australian Jesus talks about climate change with Superman. And then another one a few years later where Australian Jesus is drowning underneath kind of the waters rising up around the suburban houses. And for me, like, that's a critique of a conservative version of Christianity that's quite comfortable with a policy that does very little to address climate change, for example. But he's using the figure of Jesus in his own way, idiosyncratic way, mm-hmm. to kind of offer a political spin on all of that. And so I think if you kind of are paying attention to the imagery he's tapping into and reshaping, you kind of can get the political bite of his work a bit better. I would argue that anyway.
So, I mean, Meredith, you said that Australia has obviously had quite a different history with the Bible and the way it's interacted with the stories within it. Do you feel that our creative artists, you know, our painters and our musicians have then, their work is identifiably different in the way it engages with biblical stories than, say, America or the UK? Is it like a sort of Australian flavor to it that's uniquely ours, or do we see that also overseas?
I think everywhere where the Bible is read and debated, there's always people who've got, you know, who push back at what maybe the church might teach about it. I think that's not unique to Australia. But Australia, interestingly, is the country that coined the term Bible basher. That's like an original Australian contribution to the richness of English. And I think there is a kind of an anti-clerical, certainly like an anti-church streak in a certain mythology about an Australian identity. At the same time, Australians historically have been quite happy to go to church. So whether it's a true reflection, I don't know. But I think that idea of wearing the church's teaching fairly lightly, but still taking, especially the figure of Jesus, as kind of curious and maybe worth some time, that's come through Australian culture historically, I think, quite strongly.
It's definitely that critical element, though. It's that kind of like not just saying, like, we accept this as like truth and literal truth, which is something that often, you know, I get hung up personally on, like, you know, the idea that the Bible should be taken literally, that we should have cubits instead of meters and just like, you know, all this stuff. And it seems weird that we're taking it as fact. So you definitely think the critical element is important.
Yeah, I think, I've seen really interesting recent research on how do people who go to church nearly every week think about the Bible. And even among that group of Australians now, less than a quarter favour a literal interpretation of the Bible. The most common view is a contextual one. It's God's word to be interpreted contextually is the most common view of churchgoers, which is a much lower proportion of literalists here than in the US at the moment. And I think the whole history of kind of what you might call fundamentalism within Protestantism here has just been really different to the US. That goes right back to the way Protestants dealt with Charles Darwin and the origin of species and the idea of evolution in the 19th century. In Australia, there's been a fairly moderate Protestant response to all of that. Mm-hmm. That I think has still flavoured the way Christianity plays out in the lives of people who still opt in to churches and stuff like that.
Yeah. Now, in recent times, leaders like Tony Abbott have used the Bible to support some, you know, fairly questionable things like refugee policies and so forth. Is the sanctity of the Bible, you know, like sort of this, you know, the Bible as like a book full of the good book, right, you know, full of positive ideals kind of undermined when it comes to this use? Or do you think that's sort of, you know, his credibility is questioned if he uses the Bible like that? How does it reflect back on us?
Well, I think the Bible gets used kind of quite cynically sometimes as a kind of political signal to a certain constituency. At the same time, the Bible's inspired some of the strongest advocacy for a just treatment of people seeking asylum in Australia, like the Love Makes a Way movement. Lots of churches have come out in favour of a much more humane response to people who are fleeing, you know, disastrous situations. So obviously the Bible's being used on both sides of the debate. Which one is more in tune with what you might call a genuinely Christian reading, and which one is a cynical manipulation of a text for a political purpose? You know, voters have to decide that for themselves. But I think that, and there's stories in the Bible of the devil tempting Jesus by quoting the Old Testament to him. Like, even the Bible acknowledges that, you know, the devil himself could quote it to make a point. Like, that the Bible itself is aware of its openness, I guess, to that kind of manipulation.
And it may be a little bit, I suppose, potentially beyond the scope of your book, but how do other religious texts factor into this, such as like the Quran and other religious texts? Are they also an important part of our, you know, something we should do to understand our, you know, investigate ourselves to understand our culture?
Yeah, I would argue that a kind of a really robust religious literacy is really useful for kind of global citizenship. The world's a really religious place, even if societies like Australia, as you mentioned, religious adherence is declining at the census. I would also say that historically Christianity has kind of probably been the tradition, or certainly been the tradition that since the British arrived has done most to shape social institutions and settler culture. So there is an argument for paying attention to the Christian tradition, but that doesn't make it normative now. It doesn't mean it's entitled to any particular privilege now, but it might make biblical literacy particularly useful. But yeah, you won't find me advocating, you know, the silencing of any other kind of tradition at all. I think actually a bit of religious literacy across the board is only going to be useful for the world that we live in.
There you go, inclusive and critical looking at religious texts. Thanks very much for joining us this morning, Meredith.
Thanks for having me.
About it.
Yeah, it's great.
And again, Dr. Meredith Lake, your book, Bible in Australia Cultural History, it just came out last week. So you can check that out. Published by New South Books. As I said, it has a very striking cover image with Jesus sort of upon the crucifix of a telegraph pole, you know, in front of a sort of like sunset sky or something like that. It's interesting. Have a look if you've enjoyed this talk.